Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press. It is Tuesday of FedEx St. Jude Championship week. We're starting the playoffs this week. It's great to have you here with us. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Sorry about last week. It was kind of a disaster of multiple things. I was traveling, but also was having some issues with my hosting provider. They were trying to charge me like $10,000 to have what they thought was improved hosting, even though there was really no problem. So anyway, I'm going to be going to AWS pretty soon, but that doesn't affect you so much on the podcast side. So today we're going to do a combination of our model form horse for course show, also opening lines, because obviously we had those yesterday. I don't think you're going to see a whole ton of action here in terms of big market movers. I think you're going to see most of the action here at the top of the board, but we will talk about the entire field. There are some sleepers here that I think that are worth mentioning, either because of their course fit or because they came out in the model. And we absolutely have to talk about those here today. I think there's a great value at 150 to 1. I think there's some great values in the 60s and 70s. So we've got a lot to work with here this week. But let's start at the top of the board. Scottie Scheffler is currently on DraftKings 6.5 to 1. I don't know if they're going to put in the promotion that they have been doing here. Yeah, that they actually did. That you can add plus 300 to any golfer to win. We have been talking about that as a way to play top picks as a way to kind of boost odds. I mean, if you get Scheffler at 9.5 to 1, you got McIlroy and Rahm both at 9 to 1, so you're getting them at 12 to 1. Those are not bad numbers. Obviously, there's going to be some people coming around to Rahm given the way that he played at the Open. I think McIlroy is the better play at 12 to 1. He likes this golf course more. He has a little bit of a track record here. Scottie Scheffler does too, by the way. He has a couple, multiple top 15 finishes at TPC Southwind, but his game plays everywhere. The sticking point here, betting a guy at 6.5 to 1, even you turn him to 9.5 to 1, is he can't putt. He doesn't putt. So how do you bet a guy like that? I don't understand how you can. But if you would like to, go over to DraftKings and get him 9.5 to 1. Next up on the board, Patrick Cantlay, 14 to 1. As I've alluded to multiple times, my theory about Patrick Cantlay is he plays his best golf in the Northeast or the Midwest, nowhere else. So I will leave him alone this week. Xander Schauffele is 18 to 1. Doesn't have really much of a track record here. Is always a pretty solid play, but just doesn't get there often enough to make it juicy to have him at 18 or 21 to 1. Victor Hovland, 20 to 1. I love him this week. I really do. I know he doesn't have much track record on this golf course, but I really do like what he brings to the table here as an accomplished player who has changed a lot about his game this year. He has been consistently a part of big, deep field events this year, so I expect him to be a part of the mix here. I don't think I love the price at 20, but I do like it. Let's put it that way. And 23 is better for sure. Tyrrell Hatton's a guy who's been bet a little bit, and I think he opened up closer to 25 or 28 on some shops, and you can probably still find that in certain places. But at DraftKings, he is 22 to 1, along with Colin Morikawa. I like both those players a whole heck of a lot this week. Hatton rated out very well in our model. We'll get to that in a little while. And then Morikawa is just kind of the type of player that does well here. If you think about the types of players that win on this golf course historically, they're ball strikers first, and then they make enough putts to win second. I mean, Will Zalatoris is a great example of that. Even Dustin Johnson's a great example of that. They're ball strikers first, and Colin Morikawa is a ball striker. This golf course isn't too long for him by any stretch. He's not the longest guy in the world, but he certainly can get it around here. I think people are going to sleep on Tommy Fleetwood because he doesn't win here in this country. That may come to our detriment. I will continue to sleep on him until he wins in the United States, and I can eat it at 25 to 1 if he wins. Wyndham Clark, 30 to 1. This is a guy I think I want to bet. He won here in this part of the country in Charlotte earlier in the year. Has really played great since winning the U.S. Open. I think he's played relatively sparingly, but he has played well when he showed up. And I think people sleep on him because that, you know, it was, what, 75 and 80 to 1 when he won the U.S. Open, and figure, oh, well, he's just going to kind of mail it in the rest of the year. Well, that he seems to have a chip on his shoulder about that, I think, and he's been playing pretty well. Ricky Fowler and Jason Day are also 30 to 1. Fowler interests me. I don't know enough to bet him, but interests me. 35s, Finau, Tom Kim, Sam Burns. Max Homa is a guy I'm going to bet this week. Matt Fitzpatrick, Jordan Spieth, Cameron Young, I'm probably going to bet at 35 to 1 as well. So Max has been showing off some stuff here. I think he is in a nice little groove, playing good golf. If you look at his recent track record, has first top 10 finish in a major ever at the Open. I know that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot to this particular contest, but it is a confidence builder. It is something to indicate to him, hey, I can finish in the top 10 in a major. Hey, I can brave the worst conditions that you can throw at me, and I can stand above the overwhelming percentage of the field. He has been playing pretty well the last few months, and it may not necessarily all have resulted in top 10s or top 15s, but a lot of them have. So I think we're sleeping on Max a little bit, and this is kind of, he's gotten down to that range where maybe earlier this year, I think I tweeted it, that if you got him above 30 to 1 or 40 to 1 or whatever the number was, you almost had to bet him. Well, we're in that spot. You have to bet him this week, I think. Matt Fitzpatrick's another horse for course play. Probably the horse for course that's not a live guy. I think you got to look at him. At least, I know he's not having the best year, but you got to at least look at him. Maybe draw some inspiration from his brother Alex, who won on the Challenge Tour, their version of the Korn Ferry Tour over the DP World Tour side of things. That's his first professional win on that circuit. So he might draw a little bit from his brother. I don't know. Now, Cam Young is just striking the hell out of the ball. His finishes are great. Not a good putter, obviously, but this golf course seems a little tricky on putting. So maybe it levels out a little bit. Bad putters seem to do okay here. I can get on board. Your 40s, Brian Harman, Hideki Matsuyama. I have no idea what Brian Harman is going to bring to the table here. He does have a top 15 finish on this golf course, but I have no idea what he's going to bring to the table. I mean, he could be absolutely spent. He could be still happy from celebrating. I don't know. I'm not sure. 45 is Russell Henley. Had a really nice week. Really unfortunate finish to the Wyndham Championship to bogey the final three holes like he did. It looked like he was in really good shape, but going into the weather delay, and then just everything went wrong, and unfortunate for him that happened, but falls into a tie for second place, but the guy had a great week, and hopefully he can take some positives from that. The bad news is he's a good putter. That's what his game is kind of predicated upon, but I think you can see some similarities, some, from Sedgefield to here, so maybe you can take a little bit of that as like a comeback spot. Sungjae's 50, Sepp Straka's 50, Ben On's 50. I'm going to bet Sepp Straka. I missed the boat on him a little bit, but that's the right number. Really, right number is closer to 60 or 70, so if you got him earlier in the week, good for you, but he's at 50 right now. But I still think that's a good bet. He's playing great golf, had a great July, was the playoff loser here a year ago, kind of came out of nowhere. Well, he's a different golfer at the moment. He's playing in that kind of streaky Straka zone where he's just kind of lethal at 50 to 1. Ben On had a really nice week at Sedgefield, at the Wyndham. He's had a really nice year all around. He's just a very good ball striker. He has won on some big courses and in some big events, so this is not too big of a moment for him. Between taking Memorial and the BMW PGA, again, kind of tighter golf courses. Off the tee, this is a fairly tight golf course. There are a lot of penalties that await you, whether it's the nasty Bermuda rough, whether it's water, whatever it is. This should be a good golf course for him. It should suit him pretty well. Corey Connors, 55. JT Poston is at 60, and I think we need to consider him, given that he is kind of the current hot horse, so to speak, on the PGA Tour. The lone guy in this field, if you look at kind of current form, last, you know, whatever, five events, last 10 events, if you look at this field, he is the only guy in the field to have three top 15 finishes or better, or top 15 finishes in the last five individual PGA Tour events. It's really six because we have an opposite field, but if you, seven really, but if you look at what he has done, T6 of the year, second of the 3M Open with a total YOLO, at the last hole, and then T7 at the Wyndham Championship. Three very nice weeks in a row for the postman. I think you have to at least consider him at the price this week. 60 is not ideal, but it's not bad. Siwoo 70 along with Keegan Bradley, Emiliano Grillo, who I think you should probably consider betting this week. Been playing great golf overall. Game's kind of traveling pretty well. I'm not saying that this golf course is colonial, but it's not that different in terms of how it looks. I mean, the overhanging branches are worse at Colonial, obviously, but tight tee shots, it could be pretty penalizing if you miss the fairway, depending on where you go. I like Griot at 70-1. Cam Davis is a guy at 70-1. Denny McCarthy is also 70-1. Cam Davis is another guy that's been playing pretty well. I mean, he has a T10 at the 3M and a T7 at the Wyndham. So he's in that form, and a guy that seemingly fits how this golf course sets up. Not perfectly, but pretty close. I think he's worth looking at. Griot is a course fit, by the way, through and through. I mean, just through and through. Steven Yeager, Lucas Glover, Justin Rose, Harris English, all 75-1. All interesting plays for different reasons. I'm going to avoid all of them. Steven Yeager hasn't won on this tour yet. Lucas Glover is probably spent from last week. Justin Rose, I just don't think he's a good course fit. Harris English is interesting to me, but I'm just not really sure where he is in his recovery, getting back to the tour. I mean, he's had some good finishes. Seemed like he peaked a little early. I don't know where he's at right now. 90-1, Sahith Theegala, Lee Hodges. Now we're going to get down into some deeper plays, and this is where I think it starts to get pretty interesting. So now you've got someone like Tom Dietrich at 130-1. I love what he brings to the table. I loved him the last couple times out, and I will very strongly consider sticking with him this week as a long shot play. But also in that 130 range that I love, Andrew Putnam. Been just cashing checks all year. I didn't even know he was in this field. That's how consistent he's been all year. He is a horse-for-course play at 130-1. He just kind of fits the profile of this golf course. He clearly likes it. He has multiple top 15s here in the last 5 years. An event has been played on this golf course, whether it was the WGC, whether it was a FedEx Cup playoff event, whether it was the prior iteration of this, when it was the FedEx St. Jude Classic, whatever it was. He is one of those guys that has to have your attention, I think, this week, because he is flying super under the radar. And if you don't catch him now, I'll bet you he's 100 by the time we get to late Wednesday. Someone's going to put some money on him. So I would consider doing that yourself and getting a good price. Nick Taylor is also an interesting play here at 200-1. He is a course fit for sure. And, you know, obviously had a very nice year so far, becoming a Canadian god by winning the Canadian Open. And if you look at his results over basically the course of the season, but he hasn't played as well recently, right? He wins the Canadian Open. He's in the U.S. Open. That wasn't going to go well. Missed the cut at the Deer. Has a nice week at the Genesis Open, though, or Scottish Open. T19, missed the cut at the Open. So, I mean, we know he's an inconsistent player. That happens. That's who he is. But he does fit the nature of this golf course. So at 200-1, I think he is an interesting play. And then you get all the way down at the bottom. I mean, you got Matt Neesmith, who ranks very poorly in our model. Taylor Montgomery had a great fall, which is what got him to this point. Ben Griffin, same kind of thing. Early season stuff got him in here. I think I'm not going to go any deeper than that 200-1, but I think there are some live plays in that range. Now, remember, there's no cut this week, so you're getting four rounds with whoever you put money on regardless. I think that is kind of helpful. You can kind of play your way into this thing. You're probably going to go deep on this golf course, though. They're probably looking at 16, 17 under par as a winning score. So if you're betting the over-under on that number, I think that's your starting point. It is a golf course where you can put up some high numbers. So you can't have like a 75 to open and play your way into this thing. That you've got to be probably it's 69 or 68 to have a chance if you're thinking about this live betting wise. But there are advantages to trying to play 20s, 30s, and 40s this week because you have four rounds guaranteed. So the market is going to reflect that to a degree. Scottie Scheffler is minus 2,000 to be in the top 40. Give him four rounds, he's going to figure it out, guaranteed. You start to get plus money on a top 40 at Davis Riley, Hayden Buckley, Sam Riley. These are all guys that are 250-1, basically, to win. So you're gambling here that the worst players in this field are going to beat 30 players. And I think you don't see a whole lot of value in 20s, 30s, and 40s this week for that reason. Your first plus money on a top 30 is at Lucas Glover, Steven Yeager, Cam Davis, those guys who are like 75, 80, 90 to 1. You know, that's where the plus money starts. So you've got to beat a little bit more than half the field to get a top 30, but everybody gets four rounds. So if you're going to play those derivative bets, 5s, 10s, and 20s, I think are the only appropriate plays there. And really, if you wanted to have like an each-way bet, you want to have two equal-sized bets, either a 5 or a 10 and a win, depending on how you want to play that. I mean, if you're overseas, you get these options much more freely. BetRivers has the equivalent of each-way bets. If you're in a market where they are, it's worth looking at this week in particular because, again, you've got the limited field. You've got four rounds guaranteed. It's worth looking at. Do want to look at some matchups too, because again, you have all four rounds guaranteed. So you're not going to fall into these bets because someone misses the cut. So that you got to think about that a little bit differently this week, I think. Not too differently, but a little bit differently. I mean, I think about the matchup plays some weeks though as, all right, I think this guy's going to miss the cut, so I'm going to bet against him because obviously, all they got to do with the opponent has to make the cut and you win. This is a little bit of a different mindset. I'm not going to bet against a certain player because I think they're going to miss the cut. They can't. So that's something to consider here. There are some interesting matchups, though, I think that are worth your attention. Patrick Cantlay versus Victor Hovland. Hovland even money. I'm going to take that. Tony Finau versus Sung Jae-im is interesting to me. I think Tony Finau at -120, seems better. Ricky Fowler and Matt Fitzpatrick. Ricky Fowler's a sizable favorite here, -140. I'm willing to take Matt Fitzpatrick, the horse for course here, +115. Just give him four rounds on a course he likes. I think that's, in the long haul, going to work out in our favor. JT Poston is even money against Russell Henley. I would take JT Poston. That just screams out to me that's probably a decent play. And then get some weird matchups too this week. Like Justin Rose -155 versus Eric Cole. That's just weird enough for me to play Eric Cole because I know Justin Rose has had success all over the world, but I don't think of him as like the Bermuda King. So I think Eric Cole's an interesting play here. Well worth looking at. On a golf course that's not exactly the same as PGA National, where obviously he thrived, but in many ways similar. Tight landing areas, lots of penalty if you play poorly. And then one I think that I'm not going to bet, but I think is an interesting toss-up, which is Cameron Young versus Sepp Straka. Straka's +105. Cameron Young is -130. I wouldn't play it, but I would put a little bit of money on Straka there. I know both have been playing tremendously well. Cam Young a little bit more efficient and a little bit more consistent than Sepp Straka, but it's hard to turn down plus money and knowing that Sepp Straka likes this golf course and has been playing well, maybe to a little bit more of extremes, right? He won T2 and then goes and misses the cut after playing the 3M, but he was probably tired, so, you know, whatever. But Cam Young has been playing some lovely, lovely golf. So those are the guys that really came out very well for me based on just kind of glances and horse for course stuff. I do want to go over the model for the week, just so you have that in hand as well. We'll go over the top 15 here. For fun's sake, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, John Rahm, Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, Denny McCarthy. I don't think Denny's a course fit, but he rates out really well, so you got to consider that. Tony Finau, Sanjay, Sam Burns, and I think there are going to be some people who bet Burns. I got stung by him in this event 2 years ago and thought I had a 50-1 on him, and then it didn't happen because of that playoff. So hey, that happens, but that's not necessarily a reason to not bet him because you've been stung in the past by him. He does seemingly like this golf course. Just, I'm not exactly sure where his game is at the moment. Matt Fitzpatrick, 12th. Max Homa, 13th. Again, I keep coming back to that name. It's a name people are sleeping on. He's playing well. It's just really under the radar. Ricky Fowler, 14. Russell Henley, 15. So maybe some interesting players that I might like that are just kind of just off of that range in the 20s. Tom Dietrich is right there in 23rd, 125 to 1. Brendan Todd, 125 to 1, 24th. Andrew Putnam, 26th, 150 to 1. Those guys are going to see some action. They deserve to see some action. Cam Young is way down in my model because he has been pretty inconsistent. So that is all worth noting. Emiliano Grillo, that I really like on this golf course, is 36th. Again, two-year range, not the best for him. One-year range, pretty darn good for him. Worth noting there. And he also doesn't necessarily do the best against better competition, which is part of our model as well. But guys, please to avoid Nick Taylor. I know I talked about betting him. He is 62nd in the model because he is so remarkably inconsistent. Maybe so if you're going to bet him at that 200, 250 to 1 range, just put like 10 bucks on him, 5 bucks on him, 2 bucks on him, whatever 1/10 of one unit for you is. And if a miracle comes, then hey, cool. That works out great for everybody. So that's the model-based stuff. I do also want to look at the short-term results because we haven't looked at that yet. And if you look at the last 10 events on the PGA Tour, and we're looking again at this field this week, strokes gained on the approach, strokes gained in total, quality strokes gained, right? So let's start with quality strokes gained. Best players on the list. If we go by that marker. So that's, again, weighting your strokes gained and the quality of your competition. Scottie Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, Brian Harman's in there, Tyrrell Hatton, Victor Hovland, Russell Henley, Colin Morikawa, John Rahm, Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, these are all usual suspects. These are all people you might anticipate. And then just kind of outside of that elite group of players, Denny McCarthy, Keegan Bradley, Harris English, actually playing really well of late, because he is seeing some better competition. So his strokes gained is actually, or his quality strokes gained is helped in part by his quality of competition, because he's not green for both strokes gained and quality strokes gained, which means he may not be playing elite level golf, but he is playing well enough against very good competition. And then the fall off point is like 1.5 strokes per round, right? So you're looking at Lee Hodges is your cutoff. Obviously, won the 3M Open, so gained a whole ton of strokes there. But Aaron Rye's in there. Corey Connors is in there. Guys worth noting. We talked about Andrew Putnam. He's 150 to 1 or 130 to 1, depending on the book, for the reason that he is about halfway to elite golf. But where he gains his strokes, he does well on the approach, and he does well putting. So the putting stuff might be negated, but he also likes this golf course, so I'm willing to entertain that fact here this week. Looking at the approach play metric of this, that I think is pretty telling, and again, gives you an idea of a player who's playing really well, but may not be translating for whatever reason. Maybe they're not playing well putting, maybe they're struggling off the tee, whatever that is. But some guys who are not necessarily in that elite total or quality strokes gained category, but are playing well on the approach. Hideki's one of them. Mark Hubbard is one of them, who's, you know, losing strokes massively off the tee, which is kind of a concern here on a golf course where you got to be pretty decent off the tee. Chris Kirk, again, phenomenal approach play. Everything else, bleh. Sam Burns, same range, just not driving it well. Borderline driver yips for him. But still playing great on the approach. Nick Taylor, again, great on the approach, not great driver of the golf ball. Just keep it dry. Max has been struggling with the short game. Well, he's been playing great off the tee and playing very well in the approach play. So I think he fits that pretty well. Sam Ryder is really interesting because he's like 300 to 1. He's playing great on the approach, really well. I mean, 0.7 strokes per round. losing a little bit off the tee, but still gaining a little bit on the short game and the putting. Just a little positive. I think, but he's also been playing some weaker competition. So maybe he's not ready for the step up in class, but it seems that that doesn't square with his position in the marketplace. I think he's 300-1. Tom Hoagie's been playing better on the approach, but his driving has been just horrendous. Too much. Too bad. It's too much. And then Tony Finau's been playing pretty well on the approach, just putting awfully this year. But the driving's always been good. Might be a guy to look at based on that. But again, kind of hard to get in the hole. And just for reference point for Scottie Scheffler, he's gaining strokes doing everything, by the way. He is. It doesn't look as good because he hits everything so close and then they don't go in the hole, but he is gaining strokes on the putter. So worth pointing that out in the last 10 PGA Tour events. So if you're trying to get some ideas from that, I might look toward Hideki. Guys, maybe a little underappreciated. Colin Morikawa has been playing great, really, all around this year. You have to look at him. Sam Burns, I think, is just losing too much off the tee, I think, to maybe consider wagering. Nick Taylor's in the same place. Like I said earlier, like I love that number, 175 or 200, but I mean, he's just horrendous off the tee, and there's a lot of pain off the tee here. So maybe you look at Max Homa in particular as a guy. Again, I think it's very underappreciated here this week. Maybe Adam Schenk is also underappreciated this week. Gaining just enough off the tee, just to be positive, and putts very well, hits it very well, good approach player. That's an interesting play this week, but I would strongly fade guys that are approaching it well, but just cannot get off the tee. I don't think this kind of golf course rewards that very well at all. So, worth pointing out here. I think that covers everything related to the FedEx St. Jude Championship. I do want to talk briefly about the AIG Open this week. It's the final major of the year for anybody. All the majors are done after this week. And they still haven't posted those odds at DraftKings. But I will look at them based on BetOnline, the offshore book that we use for our odds sometimes. And if you look at that market, you got Nelly Korda installed now as the favorite. I mean, she was not the favorite at the start of the week, but she's become the favorite, 12-1. Hyuju Kim, Minji Lee, Rose Zhang, all 14-1. Minji Lee is where I start and end a lot of betting. Celine Boutier, who's going for 3 in a row here, and she could become number one in the world if she wins, is 18-1 along with Lynn Grant, both playing great golf. Obviously, Boutier's won the last 2 in a row. So if you're going to pick between those two, probably going to pick Boutier. Jin Young Ko, Leona Maguire, Nasa Hatoka has been playing great golf, 22-1 all. Nasa Hatoka is interesting to me, given the quality of her ball striking. She's not the best putter there is, but I think that's a good place for her. And then you got 28, Janet Lin, Ziyu Lin, Atiya Titikun at 28 each. Brooke Henderson is 30 with G.A. Shin and Yuka Sasso. Eka Furu is 33 along with Charlie Hall, who I think is an interesting play here at 33. Ronan Yin, who had a really nice week, once again, 35-1. I think kind of underappreciated by the market. Allison Corpuz and Georgia Hall and Megan Kang are all 40. A-Lim Kim, 45 is, I think, worth a gander. She has won a major before. She's been playing really pretty decent golf this year, and she's contended in a couple of very big events. So I would look at her at 45-1. And then just kind of cascading down from there. Heiran Ryu, Haijin Choi, Jennifer Kupcho, Lydia Ko is now 50-1. Miyu Yamashita, who's a top 50 player who doesn't get a whole lot of starts in these kinds of environments, 55-1. Maya Stark, 60-1, is someone I'm going to go after here this week. That she had a little bit of a lesson last week at the Scottish Open. Just did not play particularly well at the end. 60-1 is worth a look here to me. For her, Ashley Buhai is the defending champion, 70. Stephanie Kirikou, 60-1, has also been playing really well. I'll take Maya Stark over her, but worth noting. Arya Jatanugarn, if she can keep it in play, if she can just keep it in play off the tee, she's really interesting. Seems like she's kind of on the right path back, but 80-1 might be a little too rich for me. Some numbers I want to look at, though, in the 100 range. I want to look at Jody Ewart-Chadoff in 100-1, and I want to look at Patty Tavitanikit at 100-1. Jody Yurchadov's, it's not exactly a home game, but she's English and has seen some success here. Patty T has shown flashes that she's getting back to where she needs to be. And she didn't do a good job trying to close it out the Scottish Open. She kind of went for broke a little bit. She knew she was losing to Celine Boutier. But I think she's close. I think she's real close. And 100-1 is kind of a slap in the face price for the kind of golfer that she is. I've continued to like Aditi Ashok, 135-1. It's a little bit of a challenge for her, I think. But if the wind blows, I really like her chances. So I would continue to look at her. And that's probably where, you know, you can probably stop it right there. I just wanted to point out those couple of players in particular for the Women's Open. Because they're, if you can find those odds in a U.S. book, snap them up. Because I think Patty T at 100-1 is insane. Absolutely insane. Given the way she's played recently. I know she's not the most consistent, but come on, man. That's kind of ridiculous. I know it's ridiculous. So we'll throw that out there. And I will put this on your radar because we had a conversation about and did a piece on this recently. This is golf adjacent. It's called the World Putting League. They've been doing events in here. I'm in Myrtle Beach right now. They're doing events in Myrtle Beach. They're doing one in Tennessee. It's like a 4-person live streaming event. I don't know when this event. It says August 13th. So next Sunday they'll have this. But they have a 4-person event. Where you're going to have Joey Graybeal at +150. I actually wound up watching this putting tournament where he won, like on the last hole. It was wild. And then a couple of other players who I'm not familiar with. But it's a fun little sweat. It's worth looking at. They have over-unders on total holes in one, betting by hole. Just something to put on your radar. I have no tips whatsoever about it, except Graybeal is apparently like the best of the players in this league. And worth looking at. But the worst player is +500, Michael Rutledge. I don't think they would put him in a 4-person tournament if he's that bad. So maybe worth looking at. Lots of things can happen in putt-putt. But just wanted to get that on your radar too. All right, that's going to do it for us today. On the press, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We'll come back tomorrow, make final picks for the week. If you want to leave us a review, if you listen to us as a podcast, I'd appreciate it. You can go ahead and do that on your podcast service of choice. 5 stars would be appreciated. Leave a comment. Helps us reach more people. Shoot me any questions you might have. Ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. You can also DM me on Twitter or find me on Threads or Instagram @RyanBallingy. I'll talk to you there. Happy to do that. And then you can join Golf News Net for $99 a year. We'll again be back tomorrow with our final show of the week. Thanks so much for listening and good luck with your bets this week. Talk to you tomorrow.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.